For nearly a century, Hollywood has been turning out cinematic versions of the Book of Exodus. There was a silent version, there have been Technicolor versions, animated versions, and now from filmmaker Ridley Scott comes a 3D version, Exodus, Gods and Kings.
There's a sea ahead and an army behind! Ready yourselves!
We asked Robert Alter to go see Exodus, Gods and Kings. He's professor of Hebrew and Comparative Literature at the University of California, Berkeley. Robert Alter has translated most of the Hebrew Bible, including the five books of Moses, and he is a leading secular scholar of Scripture. I thought you'd be a good reviewer for us to send to this latest take on the flight of the Hebrews from Egyptian slavery. What'd you think?
Well, the first thing I would say about the film is that it's fun to watch. That is, it's not exactly Exodus. It's panorama and pageantry, which is what film does, and why shouldn't it do it? And I would say it's a little bit like a Clint Eastwood Western. Moses is a military hero. He wields a sword instead of a rod, and it works.
I'll put in one word for I thought the most successful thing. Plagues in 3D are really pretty spectacular, especially blood, locusts, and frogs.
Absolutely. And the splitting of the Red Sea is something.
You like that. Now, moving on to someone who's unfamiliar with the Bible, of what they might be gleaning here. The character of Moses, how close or far is this from the character in the Bible?
It's pretty far. He's really the leader of an insurgency of Hebrew slaves. Before the 10 plagues, he trains them to be archers to attack the Egyptians. He also has a certain distance from God that the biblical Moses doesn't, which I thought was theologically interesting. When God is about to carry out the killing of the firstborn, Moses says, no, I'm not going there with you.
Is it clear that the Moses of the book of Exodus attributes nothing whatever to the Egyptians' gods, or just that his god is better than their gods?
I think that you have very nicely framed the latter alternative, which seems to me accurate. That is, this may trouble some listeners, but monotheism was a work in progress in ancient Israel. We have this one supreme God who is all-powerful, but there probably are other gods, or there are other gods. They just don't amount to a row of beans. They don't match you.
Now, what in the Bible, when Moses is called upon to go to Pharaoh and demand the release of the Hebrews, he protests. He says he doesn't speak well.
Right.
And that's over the years been seen either as him saying, I'm not articulate, or I have a speech impediment, or I'm a stutterer, or something like that.
Something like that, I think so. Yeah.
And as a result, God says, now take your brother Aaron. You'll be like a god. He'll be your prophet. Aaron gets totally written out of the story here in this movie.
I mean, he appears briefly, but then he doesn't have any significant role in the film. In a way, I would not fault the film for that because in whatever it is, 2.5 hours, you have to do some cutting.
Now, another relationship, which is, in this case, bigger than what I've read in the Bible, is that between Moses, and we'll hear a bit of dialogue here, between him, played by Christian Bale, and the actress Maria Valverde, playing Moses' wife, Zipporah.
What makes you happy?
You do.
What's the most important thing in your life?
You.
Zipporah really, I mean, in this movie version, it's almost like Odysseus getting back to Penelope in the Odyssey or something. She's not that big a character in the Bible, is she?
No, she isn't. And I think that what the film does is legitimate in my view. That is, you know, there's this old tradition of reworking the Bible that goes back to late antiquity that's called Midrash, mm-hmm. where the early rabbis filled in all those yawning gaps in the very terse biblical story and invented things. So this is a kind of midrashic move.
Yes.
You know, what would Moses' wife be like? And, of course, with the breathy voice, she's very sexy, too. Mm-hmm. And why not?
Why not? Ridley Scott, the filmmaker, has been criticized for not casting people who I guess would look more like ancient Hebrews or ancient Egyptians. Do we know, first of all, what ancient Hebrews or ancient Egyptians probably looked like?
Well, of course, we know something about what ancient Egyptians look like because we have representations of them in visual art. And they were not black Africans. They were Caucasians. Think of the statue of Nefertiti that everybody has seen in some reproduction. In the film, there are some black characters, and their servants are probably slaves. And I suspect that that's historically realistic. Now, as far as the Israelites proper, we don't really have visual representations of them. I would guess that most of them were on the dark side of Caucasian. On the other hand, we're told about David that he was either ruddy or a redhead, which would mean that he might have been very fair.
As someone who's made a life study of Hebrew scripture, does it help to have movies like this which come out and establish images in people's minds as to what the book's all about?
Well, I think it helps minimally. In the best scenario, they might say, hey, I ought to go back and take a look at that. But for cultural literacy, I think you have to have some kind of familiarity with the actual text.
A friend who saw this movie in an actual movie theater, I saw a screening, said that all of the trailers surrounding it were for religious movies. I wonder whether it struck you as an especially spiritual event, or is this Moses as superhero, you know, action hero?
I think that it was mostly in the direction of Moses as action hero. I mean, the film begins, for example, with a wonderful battle, and that gives you lots of swords wielded and arrows flying and blood spurting. I wouldn't call it a religious event.
Well, Professor Alter, thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Professor Robert Alter's next book, due out in March, is called Strong as Death is Love. It's a translation of the books of Ruth, Esther, Jonah, Daniel, and also the Song of Songs.